Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome. Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm your host, Mark Kent. We're sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointments only. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Today is January 28th, and we're in the studio here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning, Nate.
And our trusted soundboard operator, Nate.
Hey, hey, good morning.
An all-around good guy.
Hey, look forward to the show every time.
Our guest this morning will be Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. And I mean, this, I've been just doing the biography on him. This guy sounds like he's just a real great guy. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going for him. But before we get there, we have some breaking news that's about ready to hit the mainstream media, because I don't think they can keep it out. And this is pretty big stuff. But before we get there, your children, your country, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues. Talk to your neighbors. Go to a Tea Party meeting. Check out the website. See what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big, out-of-control government. If you have any questions, please feel free to call in 530-605-4567 or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. News is so big, it's like I can't even hardly contain it, but we should go through our normal thing here. Veterans events.
I got a couple veterans events. First of all, I'd like to send an apology out there. We had a meeting at the Board of Supervisors this week, and the Tea Party and a bunch of us showed up in regards to some issues, some water issues and different things there. And we didn't realize that they were having a National Guard recognition at that time, and we all got up and exited the building. We weren't being disrespectful. We did not know that that was going to be announced, so please accept our apology in that, because we fully support all of our veterans out there.
Absolutely. Very good.
And then the next one I have is, I just want to run through this real quick, is the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center is having free disposal of e-waste. So they will take all your old computers, monitors, freezers, anything like that that pretty much has a plug, whether it works or not. You can drop it off at the museum from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, and it will run from January 27th to Sunday, February 12th. So get your old stuff together and take it out there so you're going to help support the museum.
Very cool, very cool. All right, our first quote is, without the rule of law, you'll have the rule of men, soon to be followed by the rule of tyrants. I don't know who said that. Anyway,
no? Sounds like a genius.
I think he's a genius.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of the self.
It was very good.
Self-indulgence here. Okay, that was actually me. Quiet, pregnant pause. Okay. Obama is not eligible to hold the office of the presidency. Now, this is an article that came in the middle of the night from Dan the Man on Maui. You know who you are, Dan. If anybody wants to start to verify this, Google Obama, Georgia. We already checked this morning. There's like
2.8 million, I believe.
No, it's 28 million. 28 million hits on this already. This has not hit the mainstream yet, guys, but this is pretty big. And you know, it sounds like another one of these birther things. And we did a little talk on this a while ago, and we said that there was some stuff pending. But this, the court happened on the 26th. And what happened in this court, in the early part of January, there's three separate cases filed against Obama in Georgia challenging his eligibility to be on the ballot because he's, you know, the contention being that he's not a natural born citizen. Well, it turns out that, you know, Obama tried to quash the motion and the judge denied it. They went to court on the 26th, and that day neither Obama or his lawyer showed up. Now, in a nutshell, what happened was the plaintiffs had presented all the evidence, and it looks like the evidence is really clear cut. This has nothing to do with where he was born. What this is, and if you can go to the Supreme Court decision, this is Minor versus Happersett, and there's actually four or so of these decisions out there. The point is that to be a natural born citizen, one must have two parents who are at the time of the birth in question be the citizens of the United States. And everybody knows, it's pretty common knowledge at this point, that Obama's father was not a citizen. Okay, so the argument is constitutionally he is not ineligible to serve as president. Now, this has such wide ranging ramifications. I can't even begin to think about all the stuff, because if that's true, and it looks like the judge, because they didn't show up, is going to put a default judgment against him. And at the state level, this means that all 50 states could challenge his eligibility. The Supreme Court wouldn't hear this case because, and I think it was smart, they threw it back to the states and said, you guys need to do this. This is a states' rights issue on an individual. And had they gone up to the Supreme Court and it ruled against them, then we would have a precedent saying that he was eligible regardless of his background. Now, you've got something to say?
Yeah, I think it was really smart of the Supreme Court to do that, because we want the power to go back to the states and back to our Constitution. That's what it's about. So.
Now, for all you naysayers out there, do your homework on this. I'm not talking out my hat here. This whole birther thing, you know, I believe was kind of a distraction. Now, there might be some validity to it. I don't know, but it's pretty clear. If you look at the Constitution, Article 2, it says that in order for the president to be eligible for the presidency, he has to be a natural-born citizen. Four Supreme Court decisions, the one I just quoted, cites that both parents have to be citizens of the United States in order for him to qualify. We know that his father wasn't. End of conversation. After that, you could go back to what the natural born citizen definition was in the Law of Nations, Vattel, which is the common law that the founding fathers based this the definition of that in the Constitution, and the Constitution not being a dictionary, okay, they had to have these things defined, and that's what they relied on. And it's, anybody who's any kind of a legal scholar knows this, and anybody who's researched the Constitution knows that they based the Constitution definitions on the Law of Nations by Vattel. So this is big. Now, this also has implications on the Democratic Party, because they were supposed to have vetted him before for his eligibility to be on the ballot. Okay, so where this goes, who knows? But this this opens the door to a lot of stuff. Now, they introduced in the courtroom, when they did this, all the other evidence of the, you know, the birth certificate being forged and the Social Security, you know, regardless of whether all that stuff actually pans out or not, it doesn't matter. It's pretty cut and dried from a legal analysis that he is not eligible to be the president of the United States. This is huge. So if you go over there, and we talk about that, of the other things that got introduced into evidence, if they find out, for example, that the birth certificate is forged, that's a felony. And so that's one of the things that you can actually get arrested for when you're working in government, is if you commit a felony. So this has all kinds of things going on. And, you know, who knew about this? This is absolutely off the charts crazy. So you guys out there, do your homework. Don't take my word for it. This is going to be hitting the mainstream media pretty soon, because guess what? They can't cover this up anymore. So With that, anything to add? I mean,
yeah, I was going to say if they want to go out there and do some checking, I mean, we got everything from Huffington Post on.
Yeah,
it's reporting it, so I mean, it's not like it's just one source.
Yeah, it ain't us. I mean,
it was on.
Rachel Maddow mentioned it on Friday. Of course, she gave a left wing slant. Said that if you Google Obama born, you know, it's all baloney. Anyway, I think what do we got? 30 seconds here. Oh, well, we got to go to a break, and then we'll be right back, and then we'll get together and talk to Mr. Rhodes about Oath Keepers. And but I'll tell you, it's going to be hard to stay off this subject. So anyway, Sovereign Minds Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the free fire media.
Hi, Dwayne here from NorCal Satellite, inviting you to our Customer Appreciation Day. It's today, Saturday, from noon to 4. See Dish Network's new Tailgater, the portable satellite dish that allows you to take all your Dish Network programming with you wherever you go. Come by for a chance to win a 55-inch Sony HD LCD television. We'll have lots of giveaways, and we're firing up the barbecue. It's our Customer Appreciation Day. Get a map to our office at NorCalSatellite.com, 1863 Keystone Court, Reading. NorCal Satellite, your authorized Dish Network retailer.
He drove his car to the shop, slammed on the brakes, and yelled, "You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed." Don Steck, Coachmaster Collision Repair. His car had been repaired after a collision, but now it had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently to one side or the other, and he never knew when it would occur. He was at wit's end. He had taken the car back multiple times to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. I walked around the car and could see evidence of a side impact, which gave me a clue to the problem. "I think I know what's wrong," I said. I put the car on the frame rack and compared its dimensions to a blueprint. As I suspected, the unibody was bent through the center of the vehicle. A test drive is an opinion. A blueprint is a fact. This vehicle should have been blueprinted before the repair. And no, the car was not possessed. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Folks, I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Springwater is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Springwater, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Springwater today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Springwater, naturally the best.
And the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Boy, what a bombshell that was. Wow, I'm still, I was almost up all night on the internet going through this stuff and checking facts and stuff. It's unbelievable. And you know what's, I think, really important for people to understand is the rule of law in this particular thing, because, you know, if Obama thumbs his nose at the court and feels he's above the court, he doesn't have to show up, his attorney doesn't have to show up, and he doesn't have to abide by the Constitution, if this is all true, then what he's saying is he's above the law, he's above the Constitution, he's above the judiciary system. And guess what, guys? We don't have a president anymore.
We have a dictator.
We have a king. And, you know, this was the thing they did back in 1215 AD when the Magna Carta was established. This was what we said, hey, we got to have everybody subject to the law, even the king. You know, the king or the lawmakers can't be above the law either. Or otherwise, what happens is you have rule of men. And remember that famous guy that quoted, you know, rule of men, rule of law, tyranny, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, you guys check it all out. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, even if you tried. So I guess we're going to go to our first guest here. I believe we have Stuart on the line. I kind of wanted to do a little intro because this guy has got some pretty good credentials, you know, here. And, man, it's God, I hope I didn't delete my credentials here. You got credentials over there on Stuart?
Yeah, I do.
I think I got so excited, I think I deleted him.
That's not a good thing. Yeah, I do have some credentials on Stuart. Stuart is the founder and president of Oath Keepers. He was born in Fresno, California, and comes from a family of hardworking immigrant farm workers.
I just found him, and I noticed that he's also of Mexican and Apache Indian descent. Man, I like that.
That's on his mother's
side. That's on his mother's side.
Yeah. That could be a deadly thing.
Yeah, I see that he's also... Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah. Stuart joined the Army straight out of high school. He attended basic and AIT at jump school at Fort Benning. I know a lot of people know Fort Benning out
so
there.
So now we know he's crazy because he jumps out of airplanes.
Oh, no. That's the good part, I'm sure.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. What else? He was a paratrooper. He was airborne infantry. He was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and at St. Louis, Washington.
I also see that he was a graduated from Yale Law School in 2004. He also was a staffer for Ron Paul, which puts him high up on my book of heroes.
So is he a nephew of crazy Ron Paul? Is that how we say that? Or
no, staffer.
Oh, staffer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, the guy that keeps talking about unsustainable wars. You know.
Right, yeah.
And that pesky constitution.
Yeah, that pesky constitution that you don't want to pay any attention to because it's
got the strange hat on and all that.
Anyway, okay, Stuart, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
It sounds like you're under the weather.
Yeah, I got a cold, but I'll be all right.
Well, I hope you get better here quick. Have you been listening?
Yes, I have. In fact, what you were saying earlier about Obama being above the law, I mean, the court case in Georgia is not the half of it. You know, the whole system with the NDAA as a latest blow basically says the president is elected dictator. He can just kill you or put you in a dark hole or try you in front of his handpicked pals on a military commission. So it's basically the same exact problem that we saw in English history and the exact same kind of stuff that our founding fathers rebelled against. It's the same thing happening all over again. History is repeating itself.
Absolutely. You know, I think what's going to happen in this eligibility issue is I think now the states are going to challenge, you know, how many states does it have to be challenged before he's ineligible to get on the ballot? And then if he's ineligible for president, does that mean that all these things that he's passed, these executive orders and all that stuff, is that all null and void now? I mean, boy, this has never happened before. We don't know. You have any idea where to go?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to minimize this, but my point is that the institution of the president has been exalted above the Constitution.
I agree.
Even if Obama were to disappear, you know, would be found ineligible or were defeated in the next election, the damage has been done to the institution and to the fundamental structure of the Constitution, and through practice and also through court decisions, the Supreme Court has taken part, and now Congress has piled on with their assent to treating the president like he has the powers to use war against the American people, the same as he does to somebody in Iraq or Afghanistan. And this is nothing less than saying that he's an elected dictator. Once he becomes president, he can point his finger at you and say, that person there is a bad guy, and they just will get you and haul you away. You know, what is that if not the rule of men rather than the rule of law?
Totally agree.
You know, and it's going to go way beyond Obama. We got to fix this. This is the problem. It's not just one man. You know, it's a series of presidents and court decisions, and now that the U.S. Congress has piled on and agreed.
Yep, I totally agree with you, Stuart. I mean, this is, in my opinion, just the final nail in the coffin to say, are you guys going to wake up out there and start turning the ship around? Because we need to start protecting our liberty from these guys and reverse what they've been doing. And it's across the board. It's not going to end with Obama. It's just the beginning.
Right. I mean, if you're going to pull it back, it is kind of like the struggle against monarchy. And what we do with monarchy in the end, we finally threw it off, you know. And so we have presidents now who, by hook and by crook, and with the complicity of the courts and the Congress, we now have presidents who have elevated themselves even beyond the powers of King George. So far beyond what the founders rebelled against. I don't think King George ever claimed the authority to have the colonists assassinated.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I think, Here's my theory. I think that there's a few people that knew this was happening, and they were trying to fast-track us into a dictatorship because of all the stuff that was going on, because they knew that sooner or later this was going to come to light, you know, thus the registration of weapons coming down the pipe and trying to get a, you know, the Fast and Furious scandal. There's scandal after scandal after scandal, and that's what I think was, that's my theory, is they were fast-tracking us into a dictatorship because then game's up if we, you know, we have no way of fighting back.
Well, yeah, I think it's certainly part of it, and also the economy. You know, we're on a short track towards economic destruction. No such thing as a fiat currency that keeps printing and printing that doesn't eventually collapse.
Look at
Argentina in 2001. Look at Germany back in the 1920s. There's all kinds of modern examples.
Zimbabwe in 2007 and 8. Yeah, you're right on it, Stuart. There's no question. In fact, that's been really the focus of my show for the last 8 or 9 months, is the monetary devaluation, the monetary system, the Federal Reserve, the central banking, because that's what's funding all of this crap.
And so that's one of the catalysts. It could be both a reason why they would want to have unrestrained power, but also a catalyst for them being able to, you know, to use them, a justification. And so one thing I want to talk about, in case listeners don't know, is that what I'm talking about, the NDAA is the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012.
Right.
And what it did is put in writing, for the first time in writing, that Congress authorizes the president to use military force, detention, military trial. And when I say detention, I mean military detention for the duration of the conflict without a trial.
Right.
Or a military trial, or even extraordinary rendition. It talks about turning people over to any foreign nation, any foreign country, or any foreign entity that they choose to. And so if you're pegged, if you're just designated by the president as being an unlawful belligerent in the war on terror, this is what can be done to you. And it applies to American citizens and lawful residents the same as it would a foreigner. There's no distinction between American and somebody who's from another country.
And doesn't it also circumvent the Posse Comitatus Act as well? So we have...
It's more worse than that. The Posse Comitatus says that the military cannot be used for law enforcement, but the claim here is not that this is not law enforcement, that this is not enforcing criminal laws. What the claim is that this is warfare, that the laws, under the laws of war, that the president can treat the United States as a battlefield, and any American that he believes is part of the enemy or aiding the enemy, he will apply the law of war to, which is why he killed al-Awlaki, the American citizen, and his 6-year-old son, who both are American citizens. He just had them killed with a Hellfire missile. He didn't capture them and try them for treason, which is what you're supposed to do with an American who you believe is making war against the United States or aiding its enemies. He didn't do that. He just said, I can just use military force.
So what
the claim is, he can just detain them, like Bush did with Jose Padilla and Yasser Hamdi, two American citizens. All of this is under the laws of war. So Posse Comitatus is about don't use the military to enforce your federal statutes, federal laws. Hmm. This is saying, oh, we don't want to worry about that because this is warfare.
So what they do is, so what you're saying then is he can basically say all us American citizens are enemy combatants? Is that what
right. Any American citizen he wants to, or any group of American citizens. Or I guess in theory he could say that all American citizens are now unlawful combatants. Who knows? So, I mean, this is the same thing that Lincoln did during the Civil War. And he didn't just use military law, martial law, against the South. He also used it in the North. He had Northern newspaper editors who were criticizing the war and speaking out against it. He had them thrown in a military brick. Anybody who spoke out against the war, anybody who encouraged people not to sign up, discouraged draft enlistment, any of that kind of stuff, or any other disloyal practice. He had an executive order that covered everything. Any disloyal practice that he determined was disloyal, he would apply martial law to you. And he did that. He had 15,000 northern civilians detained by the military, and he had about 5,000 of them tried by military tribunal. Now, that was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in 1866 in a case called Ex parte Milligan. So the Supreme Court crammed the martial law genie back in the bottle. And the reason why it was unconstitutional is because right there in the Constitution itself, in Article 3, Section 3. It tells you what the crime of treason is. They find the crime of treason, and it tells you what kind of trial that person gets. They get a jury trial. It requires two witnesses to the same overt act. So extra evidence is required. Two witnesses, not just one. And or a confession in open court, which was what the founders put there. They put the confession in open court requirement so that you couldn't be tortured and coerced into confessing your crime, and then that being used against you to convict you. They'd seen that in English history in the Star Chamber. People were tortured until they confessed, then that was used against them and they were executed. And so the founders put right in the Constitution itself the definition of treason and put in extra burdens of evidence that the government must meet, and all of it within a jury. Article 3, Section 2, right before the Treason Clause, says all crimes except in impeachment shall be tried by jury. And so it's right there in your face what the Constitution requires when any American is accused of this, accused of being the enemy in wartime or accused of aiding the enemy. That's called treason.
You know, I'm always amazed.
They must get a trial for it. They can't just point their finger at you and say, he is a traitor, and off you go. They can't do that.
Stuart, I got to go to a break here, but I'm always amazed at the wisdom of the founding fathers and the documents and how dynamic they were here. But we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Hold your thoughts, Stuart, and we'll be back in a second. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR.
Month at Tobacco and Brew, the coffee special will be chocolate truffle mocha or white mocha raspberry. 16 ounces of a hot drink for $3 through February. Treat your sweetie to a delicious cup of hot coffee. Tobacco and Brew also has flavored loose teas and vanilla maple coffee beans on sale.
In the humidor, we are offering the Macanudo. The Macanudo is one of the most recognizable and popular cigar brands in the world, and if you purchase three, you get one free. It's known for its mild flavor and body. Tobacco and Brew is also collecting old or damaged American flags that need proper honor and care in their disposal.
And did you know, when you bring in your empty bottles and cans to Tobacco and Brew, they will donate them to the Empire Recovery Center.
That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Hey, honey, hop in the Jeep. Let's go get a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an AARP member, it may take time to switch your auto insurance. The AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford is now available through Siskiyou Insurance Services in Mount Shasta, Redding, and Burney. Call Siskiyou Insurance Service at 243-224-2345 for your free no-obligation quote. Learn more about special rates, benefits, and services designed especially for AARP members. Discover why more than 3 million AARP members are enjoying special benefits like lifetime renewability, a lifetime repair guarantee, even a 6-point claim guarantee. You can also choose extra benefits like disappearing deductible, all at rates that can save you money. Get this one-of-a-kind auto insurance program for AARP members and enjoy the benefits of a national program, but still be able to walk into a local office and talk to someone regarding your policy. Siskiyou Insurance Services, located in Redding, Mount Shasta, and Burney, 530-224-2345, and discover the AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford.
Back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire. And what a show we have today. This is, I'll tell you, we're scrambling around here because we're so excited. And I don't know what you call it. Adrenaline's pumping. We got Stuart Rhodes on us with Oath Keepers. And it's just one of those kind of days where you just don't know, you know.
I don't think we're going to have enough time to cover everything with what's going on.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Stuart, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, where were we? N it's NDAA, right? Or NADD or
NA? Well, it should be NADA because that's what's left of the Bill of Rights, and NADA.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I was telling you that, you know, this is what Lincoln did during the Civil War,
right?
And it was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, and for good reason, because it directly violates obvious provisions in the Constitution, like Article 3, Section 2, and Article 3, Section 3, the Treason Clause.
Typically, all we hear about is the fact that he suspended habeas corpus. I mean, we don't, you know.
It's far worse than that. That's
right.
I mean, habeas corpus, there is a habeas corpus suspension clause, okay? That does exist, but here's what happened. Is he did it on his own, that was what was unconstitutional. But then Congress came in afterwards, and they did pass a habeas suspension statute. But that statute said that the president had 20 days. He could hold you for 20 days. At the end of 20 days, he must either indict you or release you. Well, he ignored that and said, under the laws of war, I can detain this person for the duration of the conflict. And he detained people for years. So that's the first thing, is he claimed under the laws of war the power to use military detention against northern civilians. And he did it. The second thing, though, is he said, under the laws of war, I can also try you by military tribunal. And, you know, as for violations of the laws of war, and did that too for up to 5,000 people. That is what the court was in particular looking at, was a man who had been tried by a tribunal and sentenced to be executed. He was in Indiana. He was a civilian. He was in the North, not the South, because the South had broken away to become its own country. So it made some sense to apply the laws of war. You know, they exchanged prisoners. They had ceasefires. They had all the things you do in warfare. And so long as a Southern soldier was wearing his uniform, he was a privileged belligerent, and he would be held as a POW for the duration of the conflict. If he was skulking around out of uniform, he was considered a spy, and could be hung. And both sides did that. But we're talking about a guy in Indiana who wasn't part of the South, wasn't in the military. And so the court said, for someone like that, who's a civilian in civilian life, it doesn't make a difference what you charge him with. You can't use a military tribunal against him, is what the court said. Because this guy was accused, Milligan, was accused of violating the laws of war by plotting to set Southern prisoners free, to plotting to, you know, overthrow the governor of Indiana, things like that. So, but the court said, it doesn't make a difference what you charge him with. What matters is who he is. He's a civilian, a U.S. citizen. You must try him in a jury before a jury, okay? So that was, like I said, the court put that martial law genie back in the bottle. And it stayed there. And it wasn't ever used again or attempted again until World War II, when eight German saboteurs came ashore. One of them was a U.S. citizen. And FDR said, I don't care, I'm going to try him by military tribunal anyway. And the Supreme Court let him have his way. This is the same New Deal court that gave FDR everything else he wanted. Same one also that ruled in Korematsu that it was okay to intern over 100,000 American citizens because of their race, because they were Japanese. So they gave him what he wanted. They said, oh, what counts is not who he is. What counts is what he's been charged with. If he's charged with a normal crime, then of course he gets a civilian trial. But if he's charged with violations of the laws of war, well, it's a military tribunal that decides such questions. So total nonsense because, like I said, Article 3 of the Treason Clause talks about what treason is. It's making war against the United States. So obviously, a person accused of making war against his own country, or aiding the enemy, the founders knew they would still get a jury trial. But this court said, oh, he's being charged with violations of the laws of war, so he gets a military tribunal. And that's the precedent. And after that, it was almost ignored until 9/11, and then the Bush administration reached back in time and said, oh, yeah, 1942 ex parte quorum. I like that ruling. And they brought that forward, updated it, and said, in the war on terror, the president can decide if any person, including U.S. citizens and lawful residents, he can decide on his own say-so whether or not they are enemy belligerents in warfare. And he did that to two U.S. citizens, and unfortunately the court in the 2004 case of Hamdi, Yasser Hamdi, in that case, they found this constitutional. They said, yes, nothing in our Constitution bars the U.S. government from designating one of its own citizens as an unlawful belligerent. And all they said is you get a right to challenge your designation, but that could be satisfied by a military tribunal.
Wow.
And so no more jury trial, no more grand jury indictment, nothing like that. At the most, you'll get a hearing in front of some federal judge or in front of a military judge where you can say, I'm not an enemy belligerent. And the government says, well, yes, he is, and here's the evidence. And they provide, minimal evidence. And so far, the courts have used a some evidence standard in all of the cases that I've seen when it comes to people like this. They're very deferential to the executive branch. And so, like I said, even if you think that that's going to be somehow some meaningful review, that's still not what the Constitution requires. It's still not a jury trial. So you still have a judge sitting in judgment over you. And in the NDAA, in Section 1024, it answers that question that was left open by the Supreme Court in the Hamdi case. It says in 1024 that it will be a military judge who will preside over status determinations. So once they grab you and say you're, take it down to Gitmo or anything place else, and say you are a military enemy of the United States, when you want to try to prove you're not, it'll be a military judge that you have to go talk to.
Yeah, not a jury or your peers.
Right, and if you're lucky enough to get to the judge, remember, Obama claims that under this war power, he can just kill you, like you can kill an enemy on site on the battlefield. You don't have to capture them; you can just kill them. Right, that's the claim he's making about American citizens. And he said he's got a secret list of other American citizens that he's going to whack. And he won't show the list to anybody. Won't show any evidence to the court. He says he has an independent power as commander-in-chief to just do this.
And then you have to look at the War on Terror and what the MIAC report says who the terrorists are.
Right. That's the other side of all this, is that the demonization, this is much like happened in Germany. I just interviewed a woman who lived as a young girl in Nazi Germany, and she told me that this is the same thing she saw happen there. We're going down the same path. And that is demonization coupled with creating a new second track of, kangaroo courts and no process, no protections for the citizen. Once they're accused, once they're demonized enough, then they turn that system on them and sweep them in, and off they go. They get at the very most a trumped up trial. And back in Germany, they called them people's courts, and these were special courts for political opponents of the government, and they were crammed with Nazis. And so the Nazi judges were instructed that your job is not to find out whether the person's guilty or innocent. Your job is to support the party.
Yeah, protect the state.
Find them guilty no matter
yeah,
what.
Protect the state no matter what. And
exactly.
No declared war, nothing. I mean, yeah, boy.
Well, Congress has no authority, no power to declare war against the American people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, right. A war on terror, you can't even declare a war, and then all of a sudden you're just going to say we're at war and treat you as an enemy combatant in a war that doesn't even exist.
Right, so it throws it wide open. And that's the thing about the 2001 authorization for use of military force. The NDAA refers back to that original authorization. And it's that authorization that says the president has authorized to use military force against any nation, any organization, or any person that he determines was involved with 9/11. That was the original authorization. That's what Bush and Obama both have interpreted as allowing them to do anything they can do with an enemy in wartime, including detention and military trial. But what Congress has done now is to say that, yes, we agree with all of that. That's what we meant. And so even after you have presidents detaining U.S. citizens here on U.S. soil, even after you have a president who is killing American citizens, Congress has said, yes, that's what we meant when we did this. And so Congress is complicit now in everything that's been done.
Wow. That's
they can't claim ignorance.
Almost all of Congress.
Well, yeah. I might say Congress as an institution passed this bill. Very few. So like in the Senate, you had 13 to put it against it. So yes, they did the right thing. The rest of them, though, They're either traitors or they're useful idiots. And you take your pick in which one it is.
Well, you know, I've been hearing getting some articles this week, not to cause any kind of hysteria here or anything, but it seems that they've got military exercises going on down in L.A. now, you know, and under the auspices of riot control and you know, I'm not sure what's going on, but I think they're predicting that the economy is going to collapse and they're going to use the military to come in and mop it up. Now, we've got to go to a break here, Stuart, and we'll be right back, and maybe we can get your thoughts on that and see what you know about that. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire.
It reaches into where I cannot hide, setting my feet upon the road. My heart is old.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us. For more information, bust on to wethepeopleradio.us, and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
Our guest this Sunday is disaster response and relief expert Yisrael Stefanski. He's the founder of Proactive Global Security, a company that provides training in terrorism prevention, emergency response, and crisis management for, among others, the Department of Homeland Security. He'll talk about the Arab-Israeli conflict from the U.S. political perspective as well. Don't miss it this Sunday, January 29th.
Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hear ye, a mandate from the King.
By royal proclamation, your presence is requested at the David Marr Auditorium to enjoy Disney's Cinderella, presented by Reading School of the Arts, directed by Hilary Rogerson. With all your favorite Cinderella songs and characters, it's the perfect outing for the whole family. Come, meet Cinderella and her friends.
I want to meet the prince.
Bring your little dreamer to the David Marr Auditorium February 3rd and 4th and watch the magic unfold. Go to CascadeTheater.org for your tickets now or get them at the door.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you."
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460, KCNR, home of the Free Fire, and what a heck of a show today. I guess maybe you could address that issue, Stuart, and then we got a few questions we want to go over and get your opinion. You know, tell us a little bit about Oath Keepers and what else did we want to get some thoughts on.
Ron Paul.
Yeah, we wanted to get your opinion on Ron Paul as well. So if you could maybe go through these, because this last 10 minutes just flies through. So we want to try to hit those topics if we can.
right, what's the first question?
First question is,
Think about Ron Paul? Give us some
insight. The first question was the L.A. police down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted to see if you knew anything about the military down in L.A.
Maneuvers and training down there.
Right. Well, I heard about it. I haven't looked into it yet, but that's not a surprise. I mean, this is, like you said earlier, you know, as we discussed earlier, we're heading for an economic collapse, and we know they're getting ready for it, and it's now becoming quite obvious. What they're not doing, though, is admitting to the American people how bad it's going to be.
Right.
Which is no surprise. They're keeping the American people, you know, in the dark like mushrooms, you know, kept in the dark and fed bowl while they're getting ready for it. So we need to get ready for it ourselves.
That's absolutely.
Why we encourage people to really, you know, get into preparedness.
Yep.
And to not just as individuals, but also as communities.
Become a prepper. Absolutely. That's what we've been doing. We've been doing it for a while. That's what this show's all about. So, yeah, obviously, that's the only thing that we can do. So at this point. But, yeah, so what do you think about Ron Paul? I know you're a staffer for him, and, you know, we love the guy.
Right. I mean, you know, we don't endorse candidates as an organization, but so I'll just speak as an individual. And
okay.
You know, he's the only obvious choice. You know, if you're going to keep your oath and you're going to vote for somebody who's going to keep their oath, then who else are you going to pick? You know, he's the guy that's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so that's why I worked for him. And that hasn't, that my opinion of him has not changed because he hasn't changed. So, but like I said, that's my individual opinion and I don't want anyone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just kind of want to get your take because, I knew you had worked with him as a staffer and I was curious, you know, actually I've met him a long time ago and down in the Bay Area at a meeting. I got a signed copy of his book and talked to him for a little while, but you know, that was 30 years ago.
And it's still the same way now. The very first question is it constitutional or not?
Right.
So when any issue came up, it used to be fun to watch the lobbyists. The lobbyists would walk in and they'd sit down in front of the desk of Joseph Becker, the legislative, his legislative director, and we'd all kind of like eavesdrop and lean over and look and watch because as soon as the lobbyist said we want to know what his opinion is on this bill, Becker would pull out the Constitution and say, "Please point to me where in there Congress is authorized to do this." And so the lobbyist would have a big blank, you know, like deer in the headlights look on his face because he had never been asked that before by anybody, you know. So it was just fun to watch. And of course, the answer would be like, "I don't know. I can't point to it." And so Joe would say, "Well, thank you very much for coming by, but if it's not in the Constitution, well, I won't vote for it."
Wow. Amazing that there's actually guys.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's just weird, you know. I mean, following the Constitution. Why would a, you know, gee, the guys up in government wanting to do that? Wow, what a.
Yeah, all these guys who swore oaths to support and defend the Constitution. What a concept they would actually follow it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So
maybe you can tell us a little bit about Oath Keepers for our listeners out there. Tell them what you do and if they're interested, where they could go to get some information and what it would take to be a member.
Well, what we are is an association of both current serving military police and emergency personnel, and also former. So veterans, retired. Like I was a paratrooper, so I would be considered a military veteran. So, and the whole point of the organization is two major prongs. One is to reach out to the current serving and remind them that they took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And to say, look, you know, you need to know it. How can you keep that oath if you don't know it? So it's the first step is you got to, you know you have the oath and cure your ignorance, make sure you understand the Constitution. And then the next part of it is then get ready to do what's right by refusing to obey unlawful orders, which include unconstitutional orders. And so we have one of the first things we did is a declaration of orders we will not obey, that active duty oath keepers will not obey. And that's on our website. There's 10 of them. The first one is we will not obey orders to disarm the American people. Number two is warrantless searches. Number three is on point with the topic today, is we will not obey orders to detain American citizens of unlawful belligerents or to subject them to military tribunal. So we knew this was coming. We could already see, you know, years ago this was going to be used against American citizens. So that's on the active duty side, is to get them, including, you know, sheriff deputies and sheriffs. That's why Sheriff Richard Mack is now on my board of directors, and we work closely with him.
Oh, wow.
This project to get the sheriffs to stand up and defend the Constitution. And this weekend in Las Vegas, I'm speaking at that conference he's having on the 30th.
Oh, wow, with all the sheriffs. That's great.
With all the sheriffs, yeah. Right. So that's really critical. I mean, if you folks, if you have to put your energy behind behind any one particular thing, it is getting a constitutionalist in the position of sheriff in your county.
Absolutely.
That's going to be critical. And then start a posse to back him up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then start a county militia, you know, because we're going to need that kind of security going forward for whatever happens. You'll need both. Because, look, under the constitutional design, the people were supposed to be the military power in their own hands as the militia. And also, you're supposed to be the law enforcement power in your community as the posse to back up the sheriff. It's your personal responsibility to do this. And, of course, the jury is the people themselves who decide whether or not a individual citizen should have their life or their liberty taken from them, not the government. It's the jury.
Right.
It's in the hands of the people at every level.
I have a question, Stuart. If we have an ineligible, I mean, this is kind of a, you know, loaded question, so to speak. If we have an ineligible president serving, can he issue a lawful order?
Well, no, of course not. there'd be a total break in the chain right there. So, you know, the answer is no. So,
yeah.
So that's one question. Do you have somebody who can give orders? But then the other question is, and like I said, it's a systemic problem, are these orders lawful? And we saw during Katrina where you had unlawful orders to use gun disarmament, but thankfully there were some who refused to go along with it. We have on our website an interview with Staff Sergeant Joshua May of the Utah National Guard, whose whole unit refused to participate in any gun control or any gun confiscation. And so the mission is to make more of those. You know,
what's your website? What is it? Oathkeepers.org?
That's right.
Okay, good. Yeah, we want people and encourage people to get out there and check out what you're doing and all of that stuff, because people need to be informed. I think there's an awakening going on across the board here. You know, only the people that are drinking the Kool-Aid and smoking the peace pipes aren't paying attention. But, you know, it's the cat's getting out of the bag. And I think this thing right here with Obama and Georgia, you know, could be a catalyst for a huge awakening, because there's no denying it.
Right. Well, it is important for that issue, all kinds of issues, NDA also. It's critical for the states to stand up. It's critical
right.
for county sheriffs. It's critical for towns and, you know, county government and the states to all nullify and stand up and to hold their feet to the fire. That's what's going to have to happen. We have a narrow window for a peaceful solution, but that includes nullification at every level, including within the military, refusing to follow the orders. But it also includes sweeping all these oath breakers out of office. We have to just make a decision that they're going to go. It doesn't matter what party they're in or what their excuses are for what they did. They're gone. And so
right.
you have to really push to get them out of office.
I totally in agreement with you on this, because, you know, it has been both sides of the aisle. You know, they're playing this Republican Democrat paradigm, and it's just a game. I mean, that, you know, it doesn't matter who we got. Big government just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, right and left. So, yeah,
it's a bipartisan assault. Look at the NDAA, overwhelmingly bipartisan.
Yep, I agree.
Know, both sides.
So, yeah, we got a problem here, Houston, and we need to start, like you say, get a peaceful solution here by everybody getting involved out there. We only got a couple of minutes left here, and I probably have to do a little housekeeping, but we want to thank you, Stuart, for coming on the show. And, man, we'd love to have you back as soon as we can, get a slot for you. So,
anytime.
I appreciate
Stuart.
Absolutely, all the work you do. Anybody else got anything?
Yeah, I want to thank you for sure for all the help you do, and we got your back, and I know you guys have our backs. So thank you, Oath Keepers and Stuart.
All right,
thank you
very
good. Much. Appreciate that.
All right. Okay, I got a couple of things here. The clearest way to show what the rule of law means to us in everyday life is to recall what has happened when there is no rule of law. That's Dwight David Eisenhower. You guys got anything to add to this? We're getting close to the end here.
No, I think we had a good show with Stuart on there. Sure, like to have him back where we could go over some more stuff. The hour went by pretty quick.
Absolutely. So, man, get out there. Start doing something, guys. This is not a joke. Do your homework. Get involved. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You all know who said that, George Washington. With that, we'll see you guys next week, 8 a.m. Saturday morning.
Sovereign
Mind Radio.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. President Obama and the Republicans using their weekly addresses to go after each other about partisan gridlock in Washington.
There's no mistake who President Obama was talking about. Using his Saturday message to call out Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah and his plan to block presidential appointments.
One senator gumming up the whole works for the entire country is certainly not what our founding fathers envisioned.
Lee says he's responding to the president going around the Senate to make a federal appointment. Republicans say it's the president who's trying to divide and conquer.
This divisive rhetoric, this effort to gain political support by convincing some that they will be better off if we punish others, this stuff's never worked anywhere it's been tried.
Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Mitt Romney spending the weekend campaigning in Florida, that state's primary, just a few days away. In Pensacola, Romney went after Newt Gingrich.
This last one, Speaker Gingrich said he didn't do so well because the audience was so loud. The one before.